You know the legends of the scrying mirrors? You know, covens and witches, they believe that if they have these black mirrors and they put these sigils in place, they can summon certain demons. Go to Google Images, you can just type demon sigils. And you'll see these sigils that these witches put on their covens. These look like elements of electronic circuitry. These look like circuit diagrams. You put these sigils in place and you look into the black mirror and it tells you everything you need to know about the future and the past. But they look like circuit diagrams. Tribal people like Shipibo in Peru will tell you that the electricity that we use is a demon. It's not natural electricity. Real electricity is the ethereal electricity that Tesla could tap into. But this magnetic electricity that we create by spinning magnets is a demon. So what happens when you get that demon, that type of electricity, and you funnel it through these sigils that look like circuit diagrams, and your black mirror springs into life, and it tells you everything you need to know about the future and the past. Why is the cell phone structured to look like a mirror? Why do you think that might be?
I'm sitting with Max Egan today, but before we get started, don't forget to subscribe, hit that bell so you never miss an episode, and please share this conversation with someone who would really enjoy it. Now, if you've been enjoying the show, please take a moment to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Now, I know it may seem like a small thing, but it really helps our little Ohana grow and helps new listeners find the podcast. Also, mahalo for everyone who's been leaving comments on YouTube. I do read them, and I truly appreciate all of you who takes the time to share your thoughts and your insights. Now, if you haven't already, I'd be so grateful if you could leave those same positive remarks and those same positive energy as you did on YouTube. And if you could put it on the Apple side, I would really appreciate that. Now, many of you already know I do have a Patreon community with both the Keala and the Waiola Plus tier. For those of you who prefer to stay on YouTube, I hear you. So I have now a membership through YouTube. Now, it's not exactly the same as the Keala or the Waiola Plus site on Patreon, because there are some things on YouTube that cannot be said even through the membership side on YouTube. So I just wanted to let you guys know that you do have an option if you want to stay and get a little bit more content. You can stay on the YouTube side, but there are still topics that cannot be talked about. And it's not because of me. This is the YouTube policy, so we must obey what YouTube is allowing. Otherwise, I can't be on here at all. So, unfortunately, they make the rules and we have to follow that. But at least you have an option now. So I heard you folks, you wanted a YouTube side, and some people have already found the membership, even though I really didn't officially come out and said it. So thank you guys for that. I really appreciate it. Aloha and welcome to another show, guys. Today I'm sitting down with Max Egan, creator of the Crow House and a longtime independent researcher who spent years examining topics ranging from technocracy, surveillance, digital control systems to media influence, human consciousness, and the direction of our rapidly changing world. In this conversation, we'll discuss current events in the Middle East, the growing tensions involving Israel, Iran, and the role of technology in society, and Max's perspectives on where humanity may be heading in years ahead. For those interested in exploring more of his work, you can find him at the Crow House, and I will put the links in the show notes below. Now, let's bring Max Egan into this conversation. Enjoy the show. Have you ever been to Hawaii?
I have.
Ooh, what part?
I spent time on the Big Island in what's it, Kalalu or something like that. Yeah, it was nice. And I actually drove right around the Big Island and checked the whole place out. It was really good.
Wow.
Before the last eruption that wiped out all the tide pools and stuff. So I got to see the tide pools, which was really good. And the lake, you know. But Kilauea took all that away.
I'm
So they
not.
might be due for another big one there by the look of things. There's a big earthquake
Exactly.
the other day, I heard.
Yep.
That's not a good sign.
No, exactly. I was sitting here in my kitchen, and about 9:45, we could feel the rumble, and it started really small, and then it got really big, and I was like, "Uh-oh, that's an earthquake." And
Yeah,
then,
where are you?
I'm on Oahu.
Okay.
Yeah, the busy island, I guess.
The capital.
Yes, Honolulu. Yes.
I was
But
on Hawaii and I drove right around the island, and that was beautiful, you know. It's interesting how you've got so many different landscapes and so many different environments there on one island, you know, like the whole world. You've got different colored sanded beaches, and you've got rainforests, you've got deserts, you've got lava ponds, you've got snow. You can, it's
Exactly.
probably the only place in the world you can go to Mauna Kea. You can fill a utility full of snow and then drive down to the hot beach and throw snowballs at each other on the beach, you
Yep, that is
know?
true. That is true. It's an incredible island, that's for sure. Definitely love this island. It's just very expensive, and we all feel that we are getting priced out of paradise, to be honest. It's so
Well, it's
expensive.
happening everywhere. I mean, that's what everything's about. That's everything they're doing. That's what it's about. All the breakdown of the supply chain, everything that's happening in the Middle East. I mean, it's
I
all been
know.
designed to be this way. Even the concept that we have to pay to be alive, this is ridiculous. This is the first thing that I noticed that was wrong with the world when I was 4 years old, was that people actually had to pay to be alive. And I couldn't understand why we had to buy land or buy a house or any of that sort of stuff. Like, what we have to pay to be here? Well, what's that about? You know, I just couldn't figure it out. That's what woke me up at a very, very early age. So, it's completely unnatural, and it's just this thing that's been imposed over our mentality where we somehow think it's normal that we live in a state of perpetual self-generating debt just by being alive. You know, and it's a complete program. It's a complete mind fuck that's been put into people. And it's difficult to wake people up to it, but that's the basis of the whole problem. And I could see this when I was a kid. I had a very uncomfortable childhood from that point.
That's incredible. Well, that's why I wanted to have you on. So I'd like to start. So aloha and welcome to the show, Max. Thank you so much for being here today. I've really been looking forward to this conversation because you've spent years speaking out about the global system, media manipulation, and where humanity may be heading spiritually and politically. But right now, the world is watching what's happening in the Middle East, the growing tension involving Israel and Iran, and the threat of the wider regional war, discussions surrounding the Third Temple, biblical prophecies, and the possibility that we may be entering a completely new phase globally. So I'd like to start there, but listeners who may not know who you are, and could you explain who you are and where they can find your work before we get into the questions?
Figuring out who I am is a lifelong process, so it's a difficult question to answer. But I'm just an activist. I've been doing this for a very long time. I've been attempting to wake people up to where the world is heading, and we seem to have got there pretty quickly. And we just continue to do what we do. If you want to find out about my work, you can go to my website, thecrowhouse.com. You can find my work on BitChute, on YouTube. I'm pretty much banned everywhere else. I think I'm on Rumble, I'm on Odyssey, but I'm banned on Facebook and everywhere else. But just go to thecrowhouse.com. It's an old HTML website. Click the face to enter and check out some of the videos that I've done. BitChute is probably the best place to find me, BitChute or YouTube. And yeah, I've been speaking out about this for a long time, ever since I was a kid. I mean, really, since I was in high school, I was warning people of where we were going, what the government was doing. Nothing that they were doing was in our interest. And we were heading for a totalitarian system. And we sort of pretty much got here, or we're almost there anyway. And yeah, so thanks for having me on to chat about it all.
Yes, thank you. So when you look at the current situation involving Israel, Iran, and everything unfolding right now, what do you believe is really happening?
Well, it's a deliberate collapse, basically, of everything. I mean, it's such a complicated story. There's been a want or a desire to put the East against the West, have the Muslims and the Christians kill each other off. There's a little country in the Middle East who would really love to see that happen. There's all of this religious stuff, like you said, about the Third Temple and all of this sort of stuff. But what's going on now is basically the collapse of the supply chain, you know, order out of chaos. The whole shutdown of the Straits of Hormuz and the breakdown of the supply chain, this is something that I talked about in my first film, The Big Picture, that I released in 2008, when I said that we were being set up for a fall. People in cities don't understand what's going on. You know, we're all trapped in cities. Everybody's lost their life skills. They all live off food trucks. All you've got to do is shut down the transportation system. And all of the international codependency that's been set up over the last few decades, all industry has been moved offshore. You know, Australia, for example, closed most of their oil refineries. They get all their oil from the Middle East. Most of the steel comes from Germany. Most of this comes from somewhere else. We mine all of our iron ore in Australia. We send it off to Japan and China. They send us back steel. We don't have steel processing plants anymore. So all of this stuff has been juggled around and we've been set up for a fall. International codependency means suddenly every country is dependent upon everybody else. No country is self-sufficient. And at that point, all you have to do is shut down the supply chain and the whole world economy collapses. And when people are dependent upon oil, they're dependent upon energy. I mean, even if you've got coal-fired power stations in your country, you still need trucks, you need diesel, you need to be able to get the coal to the power station. If there's no fuel, you can't do that. You know, they want to move us into their electric vehicles, all of this sort of stuff. Well, you're going to have an electric vehicle because there's no fuel for the other ones. So it's all part and parcel to the same thing. You've got everybody hooked on this international codependency. You've taken, you know, over the last century, you've taken away everybody's life skills. All you have to do is shut down the supply chain and you're going to have chaos, disruption, and order out of chaos. Through the process, you'll get to depopulate a lot of people as well. You'll find that electricity will go down, things will go down, then they can do things under the cover of darkness, like what they're doing in Palestine and what they've done all through the Middle East and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it's part of the big play for their big end game. That's what's happening with this whole war in Iran. And it's been contrived. I mean, I think Trump was kind of played. I think he knew what he was doing to a degree, but now he realizes that he's going to be remembered as the man who crashed the world economy. And he was kind of led into it without really knowing where he was going, I think. I don't know. Or maybe he's just completely part of it. I don't know. But everything that's happened with this war in Iran, the results of what it's going to do with the shutdown of everything, and the US has lost like all its bases in the Middle East. And it's changed the whole power dynamic on Earth. And it's like they checked all the boxes of everything not to do. It's so badly done that it has to be deliberate. There's no way anyone would have gone in and started a war and done what has been done in the order and the way that it has been done without knowing exactly what they were doing. Because no one's this stupid. It's not possible that anyone's this stupid. You know, like it checks all the boxes to collapse the world economy. But no one's really seen it yet because, you know, the chips have still been flowing. It's going to take about, you know, another couple of months and things are going to start getting really, really tight. And that's when people are going to see. But of course, then they're going to be able to blame this and blame that and blame whatever because people have got the attention span of a goldfish. So yeah, it's all part and parcel to the same thing, darling. It's a crazy time that we're living in. It really is.
Wow. Looking at the conflict, like you mentioned, in Israel and Iran, it seems like it's, like you said, a much bigger picture than this. Are they trying to start their temple? Are they trying to, what are they trying to do? What is their outcome? They just want to get rid of us?
Well, yeah, that's a big part of it. I mean, you got to understand as well, there's different factions in this whole situation as mm-hmm. well. I mean, even through the Judeans, there's different factions. There's the, you know, Chabad Lubavitch people. There's the hardcore Kabbalistic Jews who want to basically destroy Amalek, which is destroy the West. There's so much. It's really difficult to put it all into a nutshell type of a picture. Like there's competing factions within Judaism, but what I'm seeing now is that they're just going hell-bent to destroy everything and all they can, and nobody's going to be able to tell the difference. Nobody's going to be able to really see what's going on because of the advent of AI and everything that's coming on here. I mean, something that's been happening with me, I haven't even released a video in the last 3 weeks. Something that I'm finding when I go online now is I don't know what's real anymore. I don't know what to believe anymore. There's plausible deniability in all video evidence from here on. There's plausible deniability in everything. And like even here in Mexico, soon you're not going to be able to have a cell phone. Like by the end of June, you're going to have to give them biometrics in order to have a cell phone account. You've got to put your biometrics to the government. So all this is happening to lock us into this smart system while all this stuff is going on. What is ultimately going on here is you're going to have mass chaos through the breakdown of the supply chain. Everyone's going to be blaming different politicians and this and that. You're going to have mass chaos break out in most countries, and you're not going to be able to know what's real and what isn't. And you're going to get mass depopulation through it. And these people with hats who, you know, believe they're running the show, sure, they want to destroy Amalek. They want to kill all non-Jews. But they want to collapse everything. They want absolute chaos everywhere is what they want. And they don't even really care about the state of Israel. They're setting up in Ukraine. They're setting up in other places. Israel was established in order to kickstart this war with Iran and kickstart everything that's going on now, which is about basically collapsing everything and having these people ruling things from the top. See, even with the control of the money system, what we were talking about earlier, the fact that we've got to pay to be alive and all of this sort of stuff, it's the same people that have put it all in place. And this is their big end game. What I'm finding is that, like, I've been looking at all this sort of stuff, and I've been going down these rabbit holes and identifying this Kabbalistic plan, identifying this plan, identifying that plan, looking at what the governments are doing and blah, blah, blah. I mean, and as I've said so many times, you've got to stop even thinking about it as governments and nations. It's like one worldwide criminal cabal masquerading as a system of governments and nations that play all the people off against each other. And it's basically just a big people farm, and here it is, harvest time. They're going to create as much chaos as they can, lock everybody into this whole digital system where they've got tabs on everybody, and you're forced to control electric, you know, run electric vehicles, be geo-fenced, everything you do, all to protect you because all the system collapsed because all the terrible Zionists or the terrible Muslims or the terrible Illuminati or the terrible Freemasons or whoever you want to blame. Doesn't matter. As long as it all comes down, there's a mass depopulation and everyone gets locked into the smart grid. That's the problem. And we go through these shows, we go through these investigations, and even a lot of the stuff that I've done, a lot of the stuff that a lot of people do, is they want someone to point the finger at. They want to say, who is it? Who's doing this? What's going on? Where are we going? Who can I blame? You know, and really, it's us. We use the tech. We've given our power away. We give authority to people who have no right to have that authority. Even with all the Epstein stuff that's come out and all the stuff that's been released, you know, that we know what these people do. They eat children. They torture children, all this sort of stuff. Even if the files were to come out now, which showed Donald Trump doing terrible things to children, there's plausible deniability because of AI. You don't know what's real and what isn't anymore. So, but we know what the mindset is. We know what the system is. We know how corrupt everything is, and we know how contrived everything is. We talk about how we've become dependent upon this system. We've all become truckatarians. We've all become locked into this reality. And we all ask, what can we do about it? Well, what we can do about it is remember who we are and respect each other and get back to what it means to be a community and realize that their system is fiction. I've been trying to say this to people for years. You know, we're on the verge of an entirely new reality. Like we're going to all get locked into this digital barrier between us and reality while we're even worrying about what's going on in the Middle East and while we're worrying about all this sort of stuff. Now, what's happening is happening, and an inevitable chain of events has been set into motion, which is going to bring about the collapse of the current system. It's unavoidable at this stage. The cake has been baked, you know, and it's there, and they're going to try to lock us into this system. So this is the time that humanity has to say, well, no, this is the time that we build community. This is time we remember who and what we are, get back in touch with our life skills, protect our families, protect our children, protect our society, understand government is supposed to be there to manage infrastructure for us. That's it. They're not our rulers. They're there to make sure the roads are repaired and the trains run on time and the food chain actually operates, and now it's falling apart. It's all been done deliberately. So that's sort of my message through this whole thing that's going on. I mean, we're in a situation in the world today that is unprecedented, absolutely unprecedented. And you can go down any rabbit hole you want, blame the Jesuits, the Jews, the Masons, anybody you feel comfortable with. Ultimately, it's all one system. And sure, there's these people with small hats who have usurped the whole system and are running things in the Middle East, and they're carrying out a mass depopulation plan. And you can blame them, and sure, there's a lot of blame that goes to them, but ultimately it's our compliance to it all, which is the problem. You know, our compliance to wrong behavior. We're prepared to step outside our moral compass in order to comply with rules and regulations that we know is wrong. And one of the greatest tools they use against us is, frankly, our compassion for human beings, other human beings. I mean, we don't want to say bad things about the evil people that are doing these things. And perhaps it isn't all Jews, but if you're going to call yourself, when you know what's going on in Gaza and Palestine and Israel, I mean, if you're going to support, what the hell is wrong with you? And but yet we see that. We can see the most horrendous atrocities that are done to people in Palestine. And yet if a person who committed those atrocities was standing in front of me, some guy who'd killed babies and raped women and done terrible things, it would be very difficult for me to pick up something and want to hurt him, because I'm a compassionate human being. I'd want to scold him. I'd want to this, I'd want to that. You know, I want him to go away. I want him to be taken away and put in prison or something, but I wouldn't want to pick up an object and actually physically hurt him, whereas he doesn't feel that way. He'll be pleading, he'll be nice, but he'd be quite happy to kill me, no problem. But we have compassion for these people, and that is one of the biggest tools they use against us, unfortunately. You know? So we're in a crazy situation, Maya. We really, really are. And I know it was a really complicated answer and probably not where you wanted to go, but I've just been away, actually. I've just spent like 10 days in the forest, in with the sequoia up in Redwood. I haven't done a video for 3 weeks. And I just spent 10 days sitting there like 4 or 5 hours a day, just meditating with giant sequoia trees. And I came out of the forest just thinking, wow, this whole, it's when you, as soon as you turn on the internet, it's like just this cacophony of stuff. It's this whole loose harvest that's going on. I get on Twitter, like X, and I'm angry and just abusing people within 10 seconds, you know, because it's just a flood of Zionist propaganda, you know, and blown up Palestinian children, and just there's so much evil in the world, you know. And I look at it all and I just think, wow, you know, so much of what we do, we're just locked into this thing here and feeding it, you know. And we need to feed ourselves. We need to feed our community. We need to get back in touch with what it means to be a human being. That's the only way out of this mess. We know the world is run by evil, and the groups that run it are all intertwined. It is the Jews, it is the Jesuits, it is the Freemasons, it's all of them. It's all of the elite, it's all of the politicians, it's all of the movie stars and Hollywood and all this bullshit that we see on these screens, these scrying mirrors that we spend our lives looking at, and missing out on the world around us. They're doing everything they can to destroy our society, destroying young women, teaching them that it's great to become a whore online and sell your body in OnlyFans. It's okay if nobody touches you. Of course, no guy is ever going to want to really be with you after that. And, you know, these women will go out and they'll make millions of dollars doing that. So They don't really need a man to look after them. So there's never going to really be that bond. And who are they ever going to find that's worthy of them anyway? And soon they're going to be sort of old and wrinkled and worn out, and they're going to have millions of dollars. And they've never really found happiness or never found love. And any of the guys they might have got with, well, they're all sexually destroyed anyway because they've been too busy jerking off over them on OnlyFans. So the whole thing is designed to completely mess up sexuality, mess up our society, mess up the Western world and depopulate the earth. We know this is happening, and we're just being fed this all the time because we've lost connection to ourselves. That is the answer to everything, is for us to reconnect to ourselves. I've been putting this message out for the last, I've been screaming it for the rooftops since for the last 25 years, since the 9/11 attacks happened, you know. Because
Wow.
when nine,
Yeah.
you know, when 9/11 happened, this is the big event. We never think it's going to happen in our lifetime. But when it did, I thought, oh shit, here we are. I better get talking about this stuff, you know. And yeah, but honestly, I mean, that's the answer. And people say, well, no one ever gives us a solution. You are the solution. We are all the solution.
Wow. I don't understand why they want to create such chaos and lock us in this way, because will they not get affected by it too when they drop things off, you know, in the skies? They're being affected by it too, these
Yeah,
elites.
I know, but it's like, I mean, ultimately it's a leash farm. You look at all the data centers that are being built and stuff as well. I've often said we're being led into the mainframe. If they created a virtual reality that was so real that you can't tell the difference and you suddenly died, would you know it? You know, would you know it? The people that have died suddenly, do they know they're dead? Or are they in the mainframe and don't know it? A lot of the people here already in the mainframe and don't know it. See, I think they've done this before. I don't think any of this technology is new. I think they've done this over and over again. We're in a people farm. They grow children. We know about the orphan trains, how they repopulated the world with children around the 1890s. Have you looked into any of that?
No.
There was like the Cabbage Patch Kids and all this sort of stuff. There were hundreds of thousands of foundlings all over Europe, all over America, young children who were found, and they were sent across the continent, like 100,000 a year getting sent across from east to west in the United States. 100,000 were sent out to Australia, out to New Zealand, out to Africa, children. And they were sent out on orphan trains. And they would stop at towns, and then the people would bid for the children. They'd take them as child labor. All the old stories of the chimney sweeps and, you know, Tom and the Water Babies, all the child labor that we used to see back in the old days, you know, 100, 150 years ago. The whole world was repopulated with children. You can look up orphan trains. They were having baby raffles in France in 1915, okay, raffling off babies. So the whole world was repopulated with children. Around about the late 1890s, and history was rewritten, and these children had grown. And I like, you think about what they did with COVID, okay? If you can think of the world as being an electrical universe, you're just a frequency of consciousness. There's really only one of us here. It's just this big frequency field, and there's an antenna in my body, an antenna in your body, which harvests the frequency that you experience as Maya. I experience as Max, but it ultimately comes from the same place, different frequency of the same consciousness. And that consciousness is God, and everything is conscious. Everything is made of that consciousness, that awareness. They come along and they take a PCR swab, take a little sample of that antenna from you. And then they come along and they give you a COVID jab, which is an mRNA jab, which adds a little bit to your antenna and changes the frequency of the antenna and tunes it to their computer. They've got your antenna on their swab. That goes onto their Cray computer, and your consciousness goes to their computer, and then it goes to your body. So that consciousness is already in the mainframe and doesn't even know it. That's why you have a lot of the people who'd had the jab are all saying the same thing, and they're all suddenly dying and all this sort of stuff. If they suddenly die, do they know they're dying? And then when these Cabbage Patch Kids are born, do they have souls? Do they just have a frequency going? Are they clones? You know, they could well be a huge cloning, because they had, like, look at the World Fair back in 1915, or the Chicago World's Fair, I think, even before 1915. I can't remember what the date was. But they had whole pavilions full of babies in incubators. Well, where did all these babies in incubators come from? Weren't incubators a recent invention? What are they doing in the World Fair at the turn of the last century? You know? So babies in incubators, you can go and find photographs of all this sort of stuff, and you can find articles about it. So all these children were cloned, their consciousness comes from the mainframe, they grow the next generation. Over a couple of generations, people start developing souls again, which is what they want to harvest. They want to harvest the human soul. So they put you in a situation through your life where they put in rules and regulations which cause you to step outside your moral compass every moment of every day. How much of your soul are you prepared to give away? How much are you prepared to comply with wrong behavior in order to do what it says in the book, when you know what is right, and when there's only really one law, which is do no harm? How much harm are you prepared to be subject to? And how much are you prepared to step outside your moral compass in order to remain a little bit longer in the prison? And ultimately, you get locked into this whole smart grid that they're putting in place, and you end up in the mainframe, and you end up in this big loosh file, which is what they do. Imagine what they could do with your consciousness in a mainframe. They can constantly terrorize you and constantly give you war and war and war and war and more death and destruction and stuff to stress you out all the time, because it's a whole big loosh farm. Imagine what they can do with this sort of stuff. And the question is, like, if they can do this, then they will do it, which means they already have. So how many layers down the fractal are we already when you think about this stuff? And the only way to get out of the situation, see, like, life is a temporary experience. You came here to die. It's a given. Why is anyone scared of death? It's what you came here to do. You came here and you go through life going, oh my God, I'm going to die one day. And you spend 60, 70 years doing that. You don't ever get in touch with yourself. You know, what if all you had to do was not give a shit, no stake in the outcome, because you came here to die anyway. All you came here to do is to be the best you can at experiencing what it is to be you. I came here to do me. Nothing else. This is the only thing I'm an authority on, and I'm still working on it. I'm not even an authority on this yet. But what if that is the only way out of the system? The only way out, like even Jim Morrison said, no one here gets out alive, you know. The only way to get out of this cycle, to keep coming back, and because people don't learn, then the souls keep coming back, and the population keeps growing more and more, and more negative loose is generated. No one's really making it through. Now, I suppose some do, but you've got to lose all stake in this place and realize this is ultimately an exam, and it's about your path, you know, and that's the only way through. That's what I've said to people, like, if you throw yourself to the wind, you can ride it. You must have no stake in the outcome of anything that you're doing. Because the ultimate experience is that you came here to die. If I can leave the world a little bit better than how I found it, if I can help someone else find their path to themselves by simply helping them realize who and what they are, then I've succeeded in everything I have to. And I don't even have to do that. I just do that because I look at all these tormented souls everywhere and I think, wow, you know, it's really actually quite easy to detach from all this sort of stuff. And it's quite easy to find your way through, but you have to relinquish any stake you have in the outcome of this experience. Because all you came here to do is to do you, ultimately. You know?
True. So you think that cloning was already here a long time ago? In the early 1900s, late 1800s, we were already doing that.
Go and have a look at those World Fair. Baby incubators. Just even go on Google Images anyway, and just have a look at the World Fair babies in incubators, like circa 1900, around that time, and look at the Chicago World's Fair. Look at some of the technology they had there. I think it might have been the Chicago World's Fair they had these babies in incubators. Look up foundlings. Look up orphan trains. Even go onto Google Images and just type in orphan trains. Foundling homes, look up baby raffle, and you will find notices of baby raffles they were holding in France. You'll see pictures of orphan trains. You'll see whole foundling homes with dozens upon dozens of children in them who all look pretty much the same. And yeah, you'll see it's all there. This all happened around 1890. There were something like 90,000 foundlings just in Florence, Italy. That's in one town, you know. So this was happening all around the world, and the world was basically repopulated with children. They were sent out east to west across America. They were sent out to Australia, to New Zealand, and they were just taught whatever history they wanted to teach them. And these kids, I mean, they're too busy working. They're not interested in history, you know. So, yeah, it's history is nothing like what we've been told. And I think they've done this over and over again. You know, the legends of the scrying mirrors, you know, covens and witches and all that sort of stuff, and they believe that if they have these black mirrors and they put these sigils in place, they can summon certain demons. I was looking at all this back in about maybe 2015, and I was looking at it, I was going, these sigils, the demon sigils, you've got to Google images, you can just type demon sigils, and you'll see these sigils that these witches put on their covens. And I was looking at it, I'm going, these look like elements of electronic circuitry. These look like circuit diagrams. And when you look at the black mirrors that they use to tell them the future and the past, the scrying mirrors, the black mirror, that you look into the black mirror, you put these sigils in place and you look into the black mirror and it tells you everything you need to know about the future and the past. But they look like circuit diagrams. Tribal people like Shipibo in Peru and stuff will tell you that the electricity that we use is a demon. It's not natural electricity. The real electricity is the like ethereal electricity that Tesla could tap into, that sort of stuff. But this magnetic electricity that we create by spinning magnets and things and dynamos, this is a demon. So what happens when you get that demon, that type of electricity, and you funnel it through these sigils that look like circuit diagrams, and your black mirror springs into life, and it tells you everything you need to know about the future and the past? Why is the cell phone structured, the screen of the cell phone is structured to look like a mirror? Why do you think that might be, you know? And why do the legends of the scrying mirrors and these sigils exist if they have not done this before? Do they exist so that little hippie New Age witches can sit in their little covens with their scrying mirrors and put these sigils up and think that they're summoning demons? Or do they exist as a warning that says, when you see these scrying mirrors in place, when you see these sigils in use, they're about to harvest your soul and pull you into the mainframe? That's what I've been trying to tell people for a long time. I mean, I've got a cell phone because I need it for banking and I use it for Uber when I'm traveling. I've never even made a call on it. I don't use it. I just don't use it. It's not signed. It's a de-Googled phone. It's not signed in. I just don't use the damn things. But I've got it so I can get Uber when I travel, basically, is it. And yeah, when I opened a bank account, I needed a phone number to open a bank account. So, okay, I've got a phone number and I can use Uber, and that's it. That's all I use it for. It never leaves the house unless I travel, and it only leaves when I'm away traveling, it only leaves the house with me if I'm catching an Uber somewhere and back again. And that's it. The rest of the time it stays in my luggage. So, but all this stuff has happened before. I mean, all the signs are there to see and show us that they've done this before. And this whole thing that's happening, it's the quickening, like the collapse of the supply chain. And they want people focused on what Iran is doing and what Saudi Arabia is doing. And we're going to bring in the Abraham Accords. Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? And, you know, and I think Iran is part of it. Like for a moment there at the beginning, I really thought Iran was in there hammering Israel and they were going to do the right thing. But then I'm looking at it and they're going, look, really, they're not, like Tel Aviv still looks pretty damn good. If you're shooting so many missiles in there, like the whole of Israel is the size of New Jersey, for God's sake. And why is Tel Aviv still standing? Why are there any Israeli air bases still working? You know, all you're doing is pounding energy infrastructure in the Middle East. So you're shutting down the supply chain. You're doing exactly what Israel wants you to do. It's all one big club, you know, and that's what's going on. It's all about, and they're creating a scene and it's a situation where they've got plausible deniability. Iran did it. You know, Israel did it. Trump did it. Everybody did it. They all did it. It's all deliberate. And it's all about creating a plausible way of collapsing everything and having someone to blame. And the people were going to do anything but blame their government. Well, they're going to try to help us. In fact, they're going to turn to their governments and say, oh, my God, things are terrible. Please help us. When it's their own governments that have done all this and have flooded their country with migrants and all the stuff that they've... I mean, it's just... it's chaos. And they need this chaos to get what they want. You know, they want mass depopulation, they want mass surveillance and tracking of everybody who's left. And, you know, the people with hats want their, what is it, 1,800 slaves each that they're going to get and all that sort of crap. So, yeah, but ultimately, like I said, it comes down to your soul test. What are you prepared to do? Because it's your path. And you come here and you leave here and what are you going to take with you and what sort of mental state are you going to be in? Are you just going to watch it all? Because I've managed to travel my whole life. Like, I'm 68 years old now. I've been all around the world more times than I can count. I've never paid taxes. I've never voted. I've never done any of this shit. I've just kind of breezed through it all because to me, it's all a fiction. And so, you know, it kind of works if you've got the right attitude. Like I said, if you throw yourself to the wind, you can ride it.
Right. But I believe you're right. I think technology is nothing new. They've always had this technology. They're doing it again. And I heard one of your talks before. You had mentioned the Chicago fires, I think. And you said that the military guys with the button on their shirt was sparking because it was possibly some kind of maybe laser. And what just happened recently in Maui. And California.
Exactly. Directed energy weapons. You know, these fires that are designed to attack metal. Now they have cars that the cars are melted and the rubber in the windows is still good. The rubber on the seats and the leather on the seats is still good. The rubber dashboard's still good. Plastic
what
dashboard.
What about the blue roofs? Remember the blue in
exactly.
Maui?
Exactly. But the metal buttons on the uniform are sparking. You know, so this is directed energy stuff. All this, you know, forest fires that don't seem to burn the forest but turn all the houses to uniform white ash. You know, so this is the sort of stuff they've got. They've been doing this over and over again. None of the technology that they got is new. We're just, you know, they destroy the world, they have a reset, and then they, you know, have an industrial revolution. They repopulate the world with children. They tell them there's been an industrial revolution. They get them to rebuild shit. Then 50 years down the track, they invent the television for them. And then, you know, within another 60, 70 years, we're where we are now. You know, and then they harvest the souls and they reset and they do it again. They've been doing it over and over again. And the only way through it, like, we get it caught in this soul trap where we keep, because at the end here, when all this stuff is happening, what people do is they stress out. Oh my God, look what's going on. Look what's happening. Look what they're doing in Gaza. Look what they're doing here. Look at that. And they just, and I do it too. I go online and I get on X and I'm just like, you know, I get to the point where I just want to tear like one of the, Beelzebub Smokadick, that whatever his name is, that Israeli minister. That's the kind of emotional state I get in just from seeing this type of carnage. And I know all this stuff. So I can imagine how other people feel, you know. But that's what they do because they want to get you in this state because at the end of the reset here, they can get you back. They can get you back again. So you've got to have no stake in the outcome. At this time, you've got to really, really start being calm about it all. You really do. And I've just got that awareness like in the last week from being up in the forest and realizing that like when I come back in here now and I turn on the computer and I see AI stuff, like anything I see, like I saw a video clip. I'm going to probably do a video this afternoon. I'm going to try. I haven't done one for like 3 weeks. But there was a girl just talking about how, you know, it's hard to wake some people up and don't worry about it. People wake up of their own accord and blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, this is an AI woman. And Is what she's saying is great, but is she saying that in order to inspire you and empower you, or is she just saying it's all good, just sit back, just wait, people will wake up, don't have to do anything about it? You know, I can't believe anything I'm seeing anymore on the internet, and I've kind of virtually lost all interest in participating in the internet, apart from just chatting to people, chatting to my friends or whatever. I just feel like I just want to step back from it completely. And I was thinking, like when I was in the forest, how much I miss the world prior to the internet. You know, the internet, the international net, the World Wide Web that used to catch things, used to catch the souls. And that's what they've done, and that's what they're doing. And I'm kind of really feeling I want to step outside the net. I want to step outside the
I
big
get it.
final catchment, you know what I mean? So,
Exactly. Yeah, because
yeah.
you don't know what's real anymore, and all you see is things that are causing division. That's all I see. I don't
Division and
see.
stress, yeah. I mean,
Yeah. Yeah.
even if you try to do something positive, okay, we're going to have a workshop, we're going to do like breath Aryanism, we're going to do like breathing exercises or sound healings or whatever. You got to pay money, you got to hire for a hire space, and you got people to pay to come for the session. And then there's all this negative stuff involved in it. You can't just go and do it. You can't just go outside and say, hey, come, let's do it, and just do it here now. You can't do that. You got to get this whole commercial thing. Because even the people that are wanting to do it, sure, part of them wants to heal the people around them with this sound healing and stuff. But there's another part of them that wants to get income to survive. So they're supporting the mammon, you know, and the whole concept that you need to pay to be alive is the problem to begin with, but they can't see that, you know. So it's a crazy situation that we're in, brother, Dylan.
Absolutely. And I believe what you're saying too, that all these people, they're all in the same game. They're playing different parts of the same game. You don't know. You think that they're against each other, but they really are ending up with the same game at the very
Yeah.
end.
Yeah.
It's
They're just harvesting children and harvesting loosh and raping and pillaging and plundering, and they don't give a shit. It's all theater for the masses they put out
theater.
there on the news and the TV, you know, to keep you guessing. They just want to destroy them. In all wars, what they do is they blow up old ancient infrastructure from the old world so you can't see that the old world was there. Or ISIS did rampaging across the Middle East was blow up all ancient Islamic infrastructure. Doesn't sound like
Exactly.
Islamic extremists to me. All the great fires they had all over the world, you know, and in the Middle East recently, like bombing of Palmyra and Aleppo and all those places, the fire of London, the bombing of London, bombing of Dresden, you know, San Francisco fire, you know, everything, the destruction of Palestine, the destruction of Syria, now in Lebanon, the destruction of Tyre. Whole villages that are 3,000 years old. The village where Jesus apparently turned water to wine, Israel wiped out day before yesterday. You know,
Oh.
so yeah, 10,000-year-old bathhouses in Aleppo and stuff, you know. Just get rid of all beauty,
History.
you know, history and beauty, anything beautiful. They don't want it there. Some of the mosques and churches that they bombed in Iran, incredible, incredible buildings. And even the presidential palace that they bombed in Iran when they killed the supreme leader, remarkable building, ancient building. Yeah, destruction of beauty, that's what they want. They don't want any beauty. They want all beauty is glass and steel and bright lights and naked women on OnlyFans. That's beauty, you know.
Yeah. What about the third temple in Israel? Do you think that's what are they doing
Well,
with
they're
that?
talking, but they want to do it. They've got everything ready. It's all prefabricated. I think they've even killed the red heifer and all that sort of stuff. The interesting thing is that Trump's ballroom as well is modeled on the same design as the Third Temple,
What?
which
I
is
didn't
kind of
know
interesting.
that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? You
Yeah.
know,
So is he
like where all
bringing
the
a third
pillars are
temple
and stuff.
there?
If they mess up in Israel, well, perhaps they can do it in the ballroom, you know. And what's going to go on beneath that, the bunker and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean, they've got ready for the third temple. They want to do it. That's one of the reasons why they're pushing things so hard now, because the third temple has to, like, they believe that their Messiah has already been born and that he
Really?
must be anointed. Well, they believe their Messiah is born in every generation. He's always alive. It just depends on the circumstances as to whether he is anointed in that particular incarnation. And so what Bibi's been trying to do, and what a lot of the rabbis have been trying to do, is bring about the correct circumstances for their Messiah to be anointed. The correct circumstances means there must have been the great war of Gog and Magog, and that Amalek must be close to destroyed by the time he comes back. And the date, I believe, according to rabbis, the date that that anointing must be completed by is October or September the 2nd, 2027, which is why they're pushing so hard now to get this major, which is why Israel will not allow peace in the Middle East. And like even with Trump saying he's going to bring Iran in to sign the Abraham Accords and stuff. So I'm saying, well, even if that happens, we will not stop bombing Lebanon, you know. And of course, if they don't stop bombing Lebanon, then Iran's going to continue. You know? So it's all the same thing. Israel will not allow peace. This war has to be going in order for their Messiah to be anointed. So that's what all this is about. But it's got to be escalated. It's got to be full blown war. We don't. This is none of this stuff that's going on now. We want bodies. We want death. We want bloodshed. We want cities blowing up. We want a massive war of East against West. America has to send in ground troops. They've got to be starting to bomb the shit out of each other. We want Gog and Magog. That's what we want. It's because you want to anoint our Messiah. Because, so the third temple is going to be built before October 2nd, 2027. And our Messiah, like even, doesn't matter, maybe a week before even, doesn't matter, as long as it's built before that date and their Messiah is anointed before that date or on that date. You know, that would be the last day they could do it. And apparently it's all prefabricated. They've got everything ready, all the walls, everything's done. They've even got the choir ready, practicing the right hymns. They got the podium built. There's certain priests or certain people involved who are supposed to have been born who can't ever have been allowed to touch the ground. And
heard of that.
All that sort of, they've got all this ready. So that's what a lot of this war in the Middle East is about. Is for this anointing to take place, you know?
So it has to happen. This war has to happen in order for this to happen or that to happen.
Yeah,
it must
in order
happen.
For their Messiah to be anointed. Yeah.
Is
they
that
need
the
to bring
Antichrist?
About the right circumstances for this to happen. So that's a lot of what this is about. And you can see some of the, there was a rabbi, you can find a talk where there's a rabbi who talks to Bibi Netanyahu 20, 30 years ago. He's saying it's not happening quick enough, Bibi, you know. And Bibi's saying, yeah, I'm going to make it happen. I'm working to make it happen, you know. So they're really working to bring about as much conflict and mayhem as possible in order to anoint their Messiah, you know.
Is their anointing of their Messiah, is that the Antichrist?
Well, I guess for all intents and purposes, I mean, I don't do religion at all, so I guess it would be that. I mean, according to the Bible, if you believe such things, the third temple was already built and was destroyed. They want to rebuild the third temple. Mm-hmm. And according to the Christians, yes, whoever was anointed in it would be the Antichrist, because the Christ was Jesus, according to the Christians. So, you know, it's remarkable how the Christians believe they have to support the Jews. They still came out with the Schofield Bible, you know. And the two religions are diametrically opposed to each other. I personally don't do religion. I think religion gets in the way of any personal connection you have to God. I think everybody is born with their own direct connection to the divine, if they choose to look and acknowledge that. And you know it's there, and you don't need someone else's version of what that is to get in the way. It doesn't matter what it says in the book. That's his idea, not mine. And I don't even need an idea. What I feel is a connection, a direct connection to something much, much greater than me. And that's all I need, you know. So the rest of it is just noise, I think. And religion has always been the world's leading cause of death, because everyone believes in a different version of the same thing. And, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think they use that as a way to for war all the time. It's always religion. Start wars all the time, all the time.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, this has been an amazing conversation. I know it's been about an hour already, and I don't want to take up more of your time. I really enjoyed this so much. And I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing with my listeners here your thoughts and your perspective on everything happening in the world right now. This was definitely a fascinating conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time to be here. So thank you so much for that.
My pleasure, Doc.
Thanks, guys, for listening, and I'll see you on the next one. Ahui ho ka ko. Bye.
Out of my head, walking the edge, what am I falling into?